Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
My first night of hinging after my grandma basically dragged me by my ponytail across the floor being like, you lonely get married and have kids or else. I matched with a guy named Philip. What was his first message? You give golden retriever energy. Does that mean you have a collar kink?
What is the true crime story, like the worst true crime story that you've ever heard, like that keeps you up at night?
Oh, anything on wheels, dangerous. Anything that moves, dangerous. Anything that you can smoke, dangerous. Pills you can take, dangerous. Oceans, terrifying. Roller coasters, I'm scared. Good morning, girls, gays, theys, straights.
Hi.
You know what? The more that I commentate on the straights, the more they rise up and let us know that they are in fact here. So to the straights that support us, we stand behind you and we support you.
You're
fully.
You're welcome. You are welcome into our girly domain.
Because here's my theory. Any straight that is willing to listen to us is taking criticism in a good way. And they're taking notes to become a better partner, a better husband, a better boyfriend, a better member of society, perhaps. We might be not always the nicest to men, but we're trying to be better.
We were laughing about this. Someone's like, you know, oh my gosh, I hope you guys don't turn into a man-hater podcast. And I was laughing with Morgan. I was like, we love men, like chronically. Like, we love men.
Oh no, we're sickly obsessed.
We love men. It's just, they're very funny. Just like men make fun of us. Like, it's fair game. Friendly fire. No, my favorite straight guy who commented said the sweetest thing. He said, hey, you guys, like, I've watched every episode. And the reason I watch every episode is because I grew up with 5 sisters and I am in college and I don't get to be around my sisters anymore. And it feels like you guys talk the way my sisters talk. I'm like, oh my God. So if you're still here.
To the straights, we're here to be your internet sisters or your relationship advisors to help you keep the ladies in your life happy. We're rooting for you. I'm sickly obsessed with men. That's my problem.
We
that's the root of
love them.
It's the root of all of my mental issues that have preceded me. Okay. And
we chronically love them.
As
you're
safe
here.
I will always say I'm not a man hater. I hate when people lack a moral compass.
Listen, we call them like we see them.
And do you want to know what I found?
What?
I found a new, I'm bringing this on her. Sometimes I don't tell her what I have locked away in my phone. Yeah, I do love to keep secrets and then I like to spring them on you. But I found.
We have to talk about how funny these shirts are.
Oh yeah, these are our vacation shirts.
So cute. Yeah, we are still on vacation in case you missed the first episode.
It's a workcation. What do people call their work trips that just happen to be a lot of fun?
I don't know.
Oh, we should make a term for when you're working, like right now to the IRS, if you're listening, we're working. Can't you see how hard we're working?
You should see this setup right now. She had to pay taxes to the Mexican government at the airport.
I almost
detained her.
My job is so important. I almost went to Mexican prison in solidarity with standing behind my show.
They go, what are these gold microphones? What are you karaoke singers? Anyways, what are you springing on me?
I found a new Reddit thread that I think you're going to really enjoy because this is right up your alley. It is called Petty Revenge.
Oh, I'm sad.
And I only pulled 2 of them just so we could get a little sample because, as always, we have glorious emails to read from our viewers, our lovely friends.
You guys have been feeding us in the email. And I can't thank you enough because y'all are going through a lot. Y'all are going through a lot. Thank you so much for trusting us with this. The one I have picked out to read today, I've never been more excited to read something in my life. So
no, the people Thank are, you. I never have to text anyone again. I can get all of my juicy drama. I could cancel all of my subscriptions and just simply read our inbox because, oh my dear God, are any of you okay?
No, Netflix could never.
No, Netflix, they couldn't.
No, they literally couldn't.
Anyway.
Oh, you know what we have to tell them?
Oh, what?
Before we get into this? You guys, If our episodes just aren't long enough for you, if you're just at the
you're
end.
You're so smart. Yes, you're so smart. Oh my God. We have a Tron, and you can't say the P word on YouTube. No. They'll flag your video. It's the super secret Tron. And if you look in the description below, I will link it. But these air on Friday. And then every Saturday, we have a live after show. And we usually talk for 40 more minutes because we can never shut the fuck up.
A, have way too much to say. B, we get really comfortable. We get too comfortable on that damn app, and we say things that just aren't Tron. They're not YouTube friendly.
No,
they're Tron exclusive.
And I've already been age restricted a few times on here, and I think I'm being sane. Everyone on the Tron knows what all of my holes are going through, including my earlobes. It's intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you guys have questions about me, they're all answered on the Tron because I can't shut up. So. See you there if you're just craving more of us after this.
You know what is kind of like a rite of passage when you start posting on the internet that everybody does is reacting to my hate comments.
Oh, how? I can't because
your first video, I'm trying. My family's idea of making friends is bullying everyone we already know to be YouTubers so we can expand our YouTube circle. We have exiled every YouTuber. Nobody wants to be our friends, so we have to bring them to us.
All I'm saying is,
and you're next,
is I'm taking a break from the comment section. I have been there for a long time. I've been lurking. I've read every single one. I've been responding. I've really been there. A couple episodes ago, I got into a controversy.
Oh,
I got into a controversy that I didn't even know was a controversy.
The poop gang is ready to blow you away.
I offended the fart community.
This is something we never thought that we would have to address based on how open we are about our holes.
My hands are sweating. I'm nervous to say this to the fart community. I'm really sorry.
To the fart community, I'm one of them and I wasn't offended. It's all preference.
I'm really sorry. It's all preference. I just want to say to those of you who just could not stomach the fact that I don't like to fart in front of my husband and my husband doesn't like to fart in front of me, it's a mutual thing. Farters should be with farters, not farters should be with non-farters. It's a compatibility thing. He's not suffering. I'm not suffering. I also want the record to show I burp in front of him maybe 60 times a day. I am
and you can belch him.
Hell yes,
she's not as uppity as you think she is.
I'm not demure, I promise.
No.
There are other quirks that I have. That's just not one of them. Trust and believe everyone's okay. But I really believe it's a compatibility thing because in the comments, people are like, me and my husband have farting competitions before bed.
Sick. That is sick.
No, and let me tell you, that's beautiful to me because you found someone who matches your freak. And that's beautiful. But I'm so sorry if I offended you. I promise on everything. I don't think I'm better than a fart. I don't. It's just not it. It's not who I am. It's not who my husband is either. So... that is the first thing I wanted to address is fart community. I'm so sorry.
In your defense, you're friends with me who frequents a poot, but no, I am also somebody that's very comfortable letting one out, but I also have never done it in front of a man because I just,
no.
And someone was saying maybe it's a self-confidence issue. Maybe it is. I don't know. Jury's out.
But I think it was because I was told like when I was really little,
it's an attraction
that it was like
thing for me.
Rude to do in front of other people. So like, I don't like do it in front of my friends or my sisters. Like I was always just kind of told like it was kind of like a rude, like quote unquote rude, like not mannered thing to do in front of people. So I think it's I don't know. It's just something like maybe when I was really little. You guys, and let me tell you something interesting. My sisters, they don't hold back. So I think it's just
do
a me
they
thing.
Not?
I don't know.
You know what? To each their own. There's nothing wrong with you. A preference is a preference. Listen. And if you're here to shame other people's preferences, we're not shaming your preferences. Listen. To each their own.
To each their own. But I just wanted the record to show I am so sorry.
I support everybody that I know doing whatever it is that makes them happy. And I'm not here to judge.
Yes.
Speaking of. Now that that's out of the way, we love the fart community.
Yeah,
I am one of them.
I stand with you.
My bubble guts over here, you know what, though? I've never farted in front of my brothers. There are certain people. I have actually only done it in front of my mom and Brooke now that I think about it. But I was telling her when I was a kid, I hope my family, who isn't watching this, my mom and I used to talk about the earthquakes
She told me this last I, we were crying laughing because she didn't know that I had offended the fart community. She didn't know.
No, I didn't know. And I was like, live in blissful ignorance.
I was like, yeah, you know, like the farters were mad at me. And she goes, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, you, I forgot you don't live in the comment section. So we're reading things.
I do
like,
live in the inbox,
she goes,
though.
Oh my God. Like I didn't, I had no idea. And she goes, you know, this reminds me of a story.
Oh,
it's so funny.
Please my mom that. And I used to experience earthquakes in our house, the house that you all know and love. In the middle of the night, my dad, I don't know what he eats. I don't know what he
Your dad's
drinks.
Gonna kill you.
My dad is as sweet as can be. We have nothing but love for Mr. Bruce in this household. Oh my gosh. In the middle of the night when he is asleep, he will rip one so loud that I'm always like looking at the National Weather Service being like, does Colorado have earthquakes now? And the so my mom and I, plates. The tectonic plates
oh,
are moving.
No. It's the big one.
There's a tornado, mom. Everyone get in the bathtub. We need to shelter down. My mom and I used to call them earthquakes because I could hear it through their closed door, through my closed door, and it would wake me up. It was so alarming, and you could almost feel the movement.
The house shook.
Yeah. So,
listen.
And we still love my dad with yes. everything in us. I think it's just to each their own, and that's a beautiful thing. Own. The beautiful thing about life.
Beautiful. I also, the last thing I will say about this, I am coming up right, like in a couple days on my 1 year wedding anniversary. And
what are you guys going to do for that?
I don't even know. I don't even know.
Ow, ow, back spasm. Oh my God.
It was too funny.
It was too funny. No, I just like moved the wrong way. Sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
But there's a lot of ladies in the comments that are like, that is just so sad, you know, after 15 years of marriage, like, we don't hold anything back. Girl, after 15 years of marriage, you can do whatever you want.
You're on year one.
I'm barely at one. Like,
you gotta warm up to each things. Other. There has to, you know what, if you let a man know all of your secrets at once, there will never be anything to unlock.
That's what I'm saying.
You gotta leave some things at a higher tier, you know, like maybe fifth
it's
wedding anniversary.
Service.
You guys
you gotta,
can let it rip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a gift. It's a gift, you guys. I can't get
no,
it
there
all.
Has to be tiers.
So I really just had to, thank you for letting me address the community.
Let there be a little mystery. What is Brooke Berry's fart? Right. Smell like
and,
he'll never
listen,
know
you'll never know. Let me tell you something, none of your business. But thank you so much. Now I would love to get into your Reddit thread.
Oh,
if you're ready.
I am so ready. This is also about some stinky smelly business. And they're short. What I like about these is they're short, sweet, to the point. Petty revenge. Call my friends trash. You're gonna smell our trash day and night. A friend of mine was having a tough time. After weeks of him basically missing, he stopped by to see us, looking pretty rough.
Oh.
Our snobby neighbor gave him a dirty look and audibly called him trash.
What?
For what? If you're willing to bully someone in mental distress, you're the problem. My in-laws,
say that in real life is a crazy thing to do.
Getting a hate comment in real life.
My nightmare.
My in-laws had been trying to convince us to establish a compost pile. We always said no because we were right in the middle of the city where all of the houses are very close to each other. We started a compost pile right outside her bedroom window in the summer. She has no AC and she couldn't keep her windows fully closed. We put everything in there. Chicken, potatoes, our dog's shit. She called the police, but they couldn't do anything. It was on our property along our shared fence. We had AC, so we just kept our windows closed. She complained to us. I just told her, well, you're living next to trash, right? What do you expect?
I love that so much.
And I don't know anything about composting. We've never done that in my family, but everyone is coming for her neck being like, you're going to screw yourself over and your house is going to become infested with rats because you're not supposed to put poop in the compost. Who would have thought?
The more you know, people.
Don't shit in your compost, but that is really funny.
Save it for your litter box.
And I love that this wasn't even a personal attack on them. I stand with them for standing up for their friend, being like, if you're going to call our friend trash, you're going to know trash, bitch.
I love it. No, I actually love that.
And how unnecessary to look at someone who's clearly going through a rough time and be like, you just look like trash. What?
It's
what?
One of those things where I
this
feel
is not
like
Sesame Street.
In my mind, this person is like an older lady who just, I feel like as women specifically get older, they lose their filter. Like things that they like, you know, maybe knew better than to say out loud. It's just like they just don't, they couldn't give less of a damn anymore. So they're just saying whatever comes into their mind. And she seems like the kind of person that like just started saying what they're thinking mm-hmm. in their head, which is like, keep that hateful shit to yourself. If you're going to be hateful, you have to keep it up here, because if you're going to say things out loud, actions have consequences.
It is true. When ladies get older, and it will happen to us, so I'm not shaming the elder community, they do lose their filter. Because I remember going to my grandma forever lived in a trailer park, mm-hmm. and it was like kind of a bougie trailer park, though. Like me and my cousins loved to go to the trailer park. Mm-hmm. But my great grandma, when she kind of got a little older, too loopy, mm-hmm. my grandma took care of my great grandma. And in turn for the karma, now my grandma's being taken care of by my mom. But I remember going to my grandma's little house, her little mobile home, so excited to see my great grandma.
So
and
fun.
My great grandma changed really fast.
Okay.
And I was an annoying little kid that, I could never shut the fuck up. Yeah. All of my school reports were like, Morgan just wants to be friends with, she'll never shut the fuck up.
Has a lot to say.
She has a lot to say.
We would have been friends.
We would have so been friends. And I would have totally let you come to the counselor's office with me when they used to be like, Morgan, you could invite a friend to eat with you in the counselor's office because you have crippling anxiety. I would have been like, bring Brooke,
you know,
she'll make
so
it better.
Crazy is that I did that, but in high school, my freshman year of high school, I would hide out and eat in the videography lab.
I love that.
Yeah,
Hot girls ate alone.
Hot girls had a moment where you don't eat food in the lunchroom.
No,
because there's just
you
too
can't
many
find
people
anyone
there.
Anyway, my great grandma looked at my mom after I was just having a good little silly time and said, when is that girl from Denver going home? And I was like, oh shit. Oh, this is not fun and games anymore. This is not silly, funny games anymore. She cooked me. And then recently, I've never had my grandma say anything that actually shook me to my core. And I know that I've already said this on some platform somewhere. When my grandma told me, I'm not even going to be here by the time you find someone.
It was this platform that you said that.
Ow! Ow! That haunted me. And you know what that inspired?
What?
I did make a Hinge account. I forgot about this. Oh
what?
My God. I did make a Hinge account. I only made it through one night before I gave up, but I made a folder of what these men were saying to me on Hinge. And I know we're trying to.
Unhinged. The title of this segment is Unhinged. Also, that girl from Denver I am going to refer to you as that now. Yeah, I'm friends with that girl from Denver. That is so funny.
Quick break, everybody, because I wanted to tell you about a skincare brand that I have been using and genuinely loving. Barefaced. Barefaced is not only the cutest packaging that I've ever seen in my life, it is all about less steps, better skin. If you have watched my YouTube channel for any given amount of time, you may know that I have had a runaround or two or three with skin cancer. So SPF is the most important part of a skincare routine for me. This is the Barefaced Broad Spectrum SPF 50 Tinted Protection. When I tell you I have probably tried every face sunscreen on the market, I have never had one that feels as luxurious and smooth as this. It doesn't have any greasy feeling. It doesn't leave that weird white cast that makes you look like a Halloween ghost. 10 out of 10, recommend. And another special mention to the toning pads. These bad boys are going to shrink your pores, even your skin tone, leave you with that glowy summer feel. Bareface was founded by a nurse practitioner and focuses on intentional formulas with no unnecessary steps, just products that actually work together to support long-term skin health. It's gentle enough for daily use, but effective enough that you will actually see results within 2 weeks. So if you're in the market for a skincare routine that you will actually stick to, head to barefaced.com. Promo code hear me out will get you 15% off your first order plus free shipping. Again, that is barefaced.com. Promo code hear me out, 15% off plus free shipping. Thank you so much to Barefaced for sponsoring this very special episode. My first night of hinging after my grandma basically dragged me by my ponytail across the floor being like, you lonely get married and have kids or else. I matched with a guy named Philip. What was his first message? You give golden retriever energy. Does that mean you have a collar kink? And you wonder,
how could
the next one?
You guys were trying to be nice.
I put on my Hinge account.
You have a collar kink. Like, you, what does that even mean? Leash?
Oh, you know what? Do you support kids being on leashes? Because I think I,
yeah,
do.
I like Disneyland. Hell yeah, I do. If they're a runner.
After spending a lot of time with my brother's two boys, they can get out of your eye line in a blink. And
it
now,
takes 4 seconds.
Now I understand why people put their kids on leashes. It's for safety. And I think I support it.
You like the cute little like backpack ones with like the monkeys on
them. And they don't even know what's happening.
They don't care.
Next one, I put my photo of me from my birthday at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Yeah. And I had those little cutie shoes on that I thought were so cute.
They were cute.
Match with a guy named Nathan. The only thing this man has to say to me, I thought the shoes in your second picture were dinosaur slippers. And I logged off after that. So, Unhinged, that's my story. How we got there, I don't know. But we did have an idea while we're here. We're going to take G7X pictures. We're going to have your sister today, specifically, help us.
CEO Barbie's in town.
We are geriatric at this point. Yeah, we need the
CEO Barbie's in town, and my God, does she know how to take an Instagram photo?
And we're going to update my Hinge profile, and we can report back to you. New segment unlocked, Unhinged.
Unhinged.
My experience on a dating app. And wow. Brooke's going to help me because I need you.
I got you, girl. I literally got you. I would love nothing more. I also, Raya, if you're with us, let my girl in. She needs to be in to the party.
Imagine how much fun we could have on Raya in a foreign country.
Here
we'd have so much fun.
Let me in, please.
Please,
I'm begging. It's all please. I want. All my manifestation for the year. Please let me in.
Please, Raya.
They let anyone in. Please let me in.
My 19-year-old sister's on there. Just let her in.
They saw me talk about farts. They're part of fart community. They're like, you guys, and
they're
you guys.
The anti-fart community. You sound a little uptight, Raya.
You got to get some lubricant on
that
one.
A little uptight, Raya. Is there anything else in that Reddit thread?
There is one more that I saved for us.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Let's get into it. And then we can get to Brooke's story.
I also, one more thing, you guys. If you see a self-tanner sweat stain somewhere in this white t-shirt.
No, you didn't.
So just keep that in your heart. Thank you so much.
A customer called me stupid. So I made sure he'd never be able to return his purchase.
All right. I'm sad.
I've worked in retail for 3 years, so you develop a thick skin, but sometimes someone gets under it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy comes in the other day, middle-aged. He was already annoyed before I even spoke. He wanted a specific speaker that was on sale and were unfortunately sold out. Mm-hmm. I told him I could check other stores or order it online for him with the same price. Reasonable options, you would think. He goes, are you stupid? Just check the back. My hell. Non-verbatim, I smiled and said, I'd check and walk to the back. I stood there for 3 minutes, came back out and said, sorry, don't have any. He bought a different speaker, one much more expensive. His loss. One thing about our return policy, it requires a receipt and you can do it without one, but it's a whole mess. Manager's ID, store credit only, big pain in the ass. So when I bagged his speaker, I folded the receipt as small as it would go. Then I taped that bag shut and I put that bag inside of another bag, taped that shut, tucked the receipt in between the layers where the tape meets the plastic. If he ever tries to return the speaker that he didn't even want, he'll have to destroy both bags to find it. And it's so tiny and crumbled and squared together and wedged in the tape residue, he would rip it in half. Will it ruin his life? No. Will it mildly inconvenience him at the exact moment he's already frustrated about returning something? Yes. Enjoy your speaker, sir. Hope you love returning it because it's going to be a journey.
I wish she would have said, enjoy your speaker, stupid. Enjoy your speaker, stupid.
You know what I love about that? She wouldn't even lose her job.
No.
Because she did what she gave him a receipt.
It's your fault that you ripped it in half.
The receipt's in the bag, sir. somewhere.
No, she didn't make public outrage. Oh. She didn't cause a scene. She quietly tucked that sucker
the power
in there.
She has.
This is the type of revenge that you can fully stand behind because she didn't break any laws.
That's actually beautiful. That
isn't
really,
it?
That I whatever this threat is, it's making me like happy inside. Like,
I know.
I'm feeling really good.
It really gives you some good ideas because you know how the old thing was you can mail a bag of shit to someone's front door and that was like a whole thing.
You know what?
That's the out. You got to get more
so
creative.
Is the glitter bombs? Do you remember
yes,
that?
Yes.
Those videos used to make me like giggle when I was like in middle school. Or the video. Oh my gosh! Did you see the whole trend of like dumping, like instead of like ruining someone's car with like a hammer, you would take glitter and just dump it all over the car.
Oh my dear God. My dad hates glitter. I was a glitter girl. I was always like using Elmer's glue and glittering all my phone chargers and stuff. And he rued the day that he saw the glitter sitting on the counter. He's like, this is going to be around my floors for the next 8 months.
Years. Evie's going to find the glitter that you left. in your house.
I'm like, wait till my niece finds out about the ghosts in my room. It's gonna start a whole channel for her too. This
Angie
thing is lineage. This is lineage, baby.
Angie and glitter. That's her. That's the cycle continues.
Her version of a trust fund. Me leaving my ghost in the room.
And glitter.
This will get you through the next decade of your life. Make a video about the ghost in
Here
your
you
room,
go,
baby
girl.
Doll.
And it's all of the viewers now. Their kids. Their kids are watching Evie.
Like, you can't. You're not gonna believe this.
You're not gonna. She goes. You're not gonna believe this.
Bring
you guys.
Back Angie.
It's
a family matter.
If you missed a couple episodes, you're just tuning in for the first time, we have an email that people write into.
HMOofficialpod@gmail.com.
And we got a submission a couple days ago that I've saved in Starved folder that I want to share it with the group. Because
share it with us. It looks meaty.
It's strap in. It's a long one, but I do believe after I read the title, everyone's going to be locked in.
Okay.
The title is My Ex Cheated on Me and Then the Girl Died and He Went Missing. All right.
Stan, Netflix is calling.
Hi, Morgan and Brooke. Love the podcast. I've got a story for you. I don't even know where to start, so let's say this. After my first boyfriend left for college, I had entered my hoe era. I lost my V card, had my first kiss, and kissed with him and everything, and he just left and never spoke to me again, so I was devastated. I went out partying, trying to distract myself. One night, I met a boy at the club, and he was friends with one of my good friends, so I felt safer with him knowing my group knew him already. I knew exactly what I wanted. I was probably ovulating drunk and definitely not thinking clearly. Valid. He came home with me that night and sure enough, we hooked up. It wasn't until after that I found out it was his first time. Like, who doesn't tell someone that? Anyways, so naturally he fell for me pretty hard. We hooked up again a few more times.
It was his, so she
took his V-card.
It took his V-card. Okay, I'm following.
And then he got like hooked.
Uh-oh.
We hooked up a few times and before you knew it, he was asking me to be his girlfriend. I didn't really want a relationship at the time, but for some reason I said yes. He was a good companion for a little while. He was always there when I needed him. He was very loving at times. Then I found out this motherfucker was dealing drugs behind my back.
Uh-oh.
He was 18, fresh out of foster care system, was also 2 years younger than me. And he was in trouble. He had actually gotten arrested as a murder suspect, and I was so shocked. For some reason, that wasn't enough for me to walk away from the relationship, though, because he was not found guilty of any murder, and I don't understand how I got caught up in it, and he said he wanted to better himself and stop dealing, so I kind of just believed him.
Uh-oh.
I stayed, and a few months later, he gave me a promise ring, and I got mono a few weeks before, and that's how I found out he cheated. The girl he cheated on me with was always jealous. They had a little thing before we started dating. Of course, it's always the girl you're worried about. She sent me a video of them kissing with the time and date stamp. I was pissed, obviously. And she did it in a I got your man kind of way. Boo.
Ew.
I couldn't even believe it. It was like 6 a.m. when I had opened her Snapchat. And that was how I found out that he was cheating. I called out of work that day. It was honestly a horrible day. I immediately texted him and said, we need to talk. Contemplating if I should dump him or not. I knew I was stupid not to. I didn't let him explain. I screamed at him and reminded him how bad of a person he was to do that amongst other shit that had happened that he had done to me. And I made him leave after dumping him on the spot. He was blaming the girl he cheated on me with, ostracizing her publicly on his Snapchat story. He was posting the shit on his Snapchat story like a middle school boy. It was really embarrassing. 2 days later, he called me and said her name, Blink, was dead and that she had unalived herself. I was shocked. I didn't even believe him at first. Sure enough, he was right. She OD'd in a beach parking lot and everyone was blaming my ex for making her feel like shit. I think he was seeing her the entire time he was seeing me, and I probably was the other girl and didn't know. I felt horrible that she lost her life over a scumbag, but we don't really know if it was because of him or if she was unwell before. I was worried about him after not hearing from him for a couple days. He had his friends post a fake rest in peace with his picture on Snapchat and faked his death. I went to the police and tried to track him down. Finally, I got his cousin's phone number and his aunt answered the phone and screamed at me to leave him alone, even though I was just worried about him because everyone was saying that he had died.
What?
I had never heard from him to this day.
That was a roller coaster. Wait, did they say how he died?
He didn't die. He faked his death and went on the run because this girl, like, he had, like, bullied this girl.
So where did he go?
She doesn't know.
They've never debunked if he's actually alive or not?
No, they know he's alive. The aunt confirmed that he's alive. But
like, he's on the run because, like, he killed this girl, so they think.
Yeah, she just, like, they literally don't know. Like, she never heard from him again. Like, the aunt was like, never contact him again. So all of his friends faked his death. And yeah.
So based on everything that I've seen on Netflix, what had happened was he drugged the girl, caused her to overdose. She accidentally died in the parking lot. He knew that he was responsible for killing her because if she had just overdosed and that was the true story, he would have no reason to run. He knew that they were going to find out that he had done something to her. I think he this is all allegedly. I think he drugged the girl. She died. He knew, OMG, F my life. I accidentally killed this girl. Because if the story was true, why would he have to escape? He'd be like, oh, this is so sad.
Well, the girly pop. The girl says that basically no more. That when she dumped him, so she dumps him, was like, you're cheating on me. She literally reached out, like, show the proof that you're cheating on me. He crashed out and started blasting her name, embarrassing her on his stories, being like, this girl is like ruined my life, da 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 da. And apparently the public shame is what led her to unalive himself or herself.
I don't think she killed herself. I think he killed her. I think that he got dumped by her, didn't know how to take it, by both of them, was like, these is killed her, allegedly. That's my theory. Then he was so guilty of, oh my god, now I'm a killer, now I'm a murderer, that he had to disappear. He had to go somewhere. That's what I would think happened. If I was a detective, if I was in the FBI, that would be my theory, because if she just killed herself, he would be so sad. Like, I cannot believe that this happened.
He would, like, have empathy instead.
Why would he have to run away? You want to know the craziest story? And I will not name names, but he was a drug dealer, right? That was a part of the story. My friend dated a drug dealer once upon a time, and she didn't really know the scope of it. Like, it was kind of one of those things where she got into the relationship thinking he was a normal, sane, cool guy. We all thought he was cool. Then as months, as you get to know someone, she was like, how does he have so much money?
He's not, like, leading with the, how, like, leading with
does
that.
His company make so much money, but he's very secretive about his money and it's all in cash, la, la, la. Come to find out, shocker of the century, he's a drug dealer. He gets in some brawl with one of his other drug dealer buddies, and he's like, oh my god, calls up my friend and's like, something's gonna happen, big dog that I'm in a fight with is gonna come take all of my money, like, you need to hide my cash, you need to go in my room, find my cash, hide it.
At this point, did your friend know that he was a drug dealer?
She knew that he was a drug dealer at this point, but he was a sick and abusive, horrible person. Right. So
she was already in deep.
She was in deep. She was trapped in because I think he would, like, threaten her. It was it was a really scary thing. He had legal repercussions.
Also,
let's
just
say that.
She's free now.
She's free. Yeah. She's safe. She's free. This was, like, 10 years ago, almost.
Yeah, plus.
Anyway, drug dealer gets in a fight with another drug dealer, calls up my friend and is like, you have to go to my house, get all of my hidden cash and do something with it because this guy is going to come steal all my money. My innocent, beautiful friend is like, oh, what the fuck do I do? But she's resourceful, I'll tell you that. She goes.
Smart as a whip.
She gets the money. What does she do with it? She goes to the store, gets a roll of wrapping paper, unrolls the whole thing of wrapping paper, individually tapes all of the cash into the wrapping paper so it rolls right on up. She rolls the wrapping paper up, puts the seal back on, lights it on fire so it seals back up, looks brand new. How inventive was this? That's, I was like, you're honestly
really smart.
You are wildly brilliant. That's the smartest thing I've ever heard.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
I would have never thought of that. Goes to her mom's basement, puts it in her little wrap, her Christmas wrapping bin. No one would ever know. Then get this.
What?
Forgot about it. Forgot about it. Then come Christmas time, her
How
cutesy
many months later. Wait, like it was there for months?
I don't know how long it was there for, but she Morgan. Was she was keeping it hidden. Her mom goes Her mom, that is so funny, goes down to get some wrapping paper for a little Christmas gift, opens the wrapping paper, finds all of the money. Like, what the fuck is going on with this Walmart roll of wrapping paper? She should write a book. It's
that
insanity.
Is hilarious.
But isn't that so inventive? Anyway, listen, that was a side tangent, but I really do think that this guy killed that girl and is now on the run.
Damn. Well, I'm so sorry. Also, if I didn't read that properly, I know I was like kind of.
No, I think you did.
All over the place.
I got the story. Well, you know, the Gabby Petito is like one of the biggest,
yes,
like most covered true crime stories, yes, ever. That was his whole thing, that he was going to make it look like she went crazy. She lost her marbles. Mm-hmm. She was mentally unstable. I couldn't get her under control. She killed herself or fell and there was a tragic accident. He tried to play it off as she's the crazy that killed herself.
Dang.
Or fell. I think she said she fell and tripped on a rock or something. But come to find out, he was the crazy McCrazy that did it. So sad. And then he did the same thing, faked his own death.
Yeah, that's right.
Went on the run, left like his parents, and his parents were in on it. Everyone was in on it. So I think, based on what I've gathered, he probably has his friends in on it.
We've
and was
seen
like,
enough Kendall Ray videos to know what's up.
I am an avid subscriber to Kendall Ray. That girl did not kill herself.
Dang. I didn't
allegedly
even think of that.
Allegedly, I don't know.
Allegedly.
It's just a theory, but
this story.
Why would a beautiful girl, if she has the self-awareness and self-confidence to be like, this is not a good relationship for me, I want to leave?
Well, she didn't want to leave.
Oh, she didn't?
No, the girl writing in is the one who was like, F this, like, you can have him.
Oh.
Yeah, the girl was like, you can have him.
Well.
And then apparently, like, when he was so mean to the girl, that's why the girl did it. But who knows? I mean, it sounds like there was a lot about the guy that she didn't know. Like, it sounds like he maybe like had a lot going on. She didn't know him very well when they started dating. Like, it sounds like he was a complicated character. But
I mean, he sold drugs for a living.
What, to be at 18 and already in those antics, like, that's pretty telling.
And to me, just, you can see a lot about a person by the way that they talk to people.
Mm.
The fact that he was so mean to her and so
publicly mean to her
and had no shame about it shows me that he is kind of an evil, vindictive person with not a lot of shame.
You know what this makes me want to talk about? Because I'm really curious.
Tell me.
We're talking about true crime. I know your mom's an avid true crime girl.
My mom is. I'm going to make her change her whole channel to true crime.
She should. Oh, that would be really fun. Like, she could do it while she's like baking.
And she's so soothing and she's like so calm. And
she should do ASMR. Like true crime ASMR. Sorry. I just want to hear your mom.
They're like sharpening the knives in the back. Like, what is that?
No, like her whispering, telling the story.
Oh, like a. She's acting out the scene being sharpen the knife and then you locked the door.
She like whispers and tells a story. No.
Oh, hey, everybody. Quick pause to talk about the very special sponsor of today's episode, Surfshark. Welcome to the current day and age. We are all online constantly clicking links that we probably shouldn't. Surfshark keeps all of that private with a VPN so your data is not floating around the internet like a community pool. What I love the most is how easy and user-friendly this is. One Surfshark subscription works on all of your devices, phones, laptops, iPads, TV, any device that you have living under the sun, it can be protected with one single subscription. They also have a web content blocker, an email scam checker that tells you if an email is sketchy before you even click it, and they are available in over 100 countries, which is wild and not done by any VPN yet. They have apps for basically everything, 24/7 customer support, a strict no logs policy, and a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can try it totally risk-free. If you want to protect your digital life and feel a little more secure online, head to surfshark.com/hearmeout and use the promo code hearmeout for 4 extra months of Surfshark VPN for free. Again, that is promo code hearmeout on surfshark.com/hearmeout. Thank you so much to Surfshark for sponsoring this very special Cabo vacation episode.
What is the, like, the true crime story, like the worst true crime story that you've ever heard, like that keeps you up at night?
Oh, I don't know the worst one, but one that is going around again is the Elizabeth Smart one that I was telling you about last night.
Yeah, I don't know much about it.
Because we were living in Utah. I was far too young to know it was happening because all of my aunts were like, how did you not know about this? This happened in your timeline that you lived in Utah. And my mom was like, why would we tell our young kids that other young girls were getting abducted from their bedrooms? Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's a great Netflix documentary that just came out about it. But basically, the gist of it, this very wealthy family lived in a really wealthy neighborhood. They had construction work done at their house. Mm-hmm. So all of these men had like been in and out of their house. They didn't know who exactly it was. Elizabeth Smart shared a room with her sister. A guy breaks into their house in the middle of the night, takes Elizabeth Smart while her sister is awake, sitting in the room with her. Didn't take the sister, but basically the gist of it is the sister was the only witness who saw it, but she was so scared that she was like, I don't know what's happening. Right? I'm freezing. So little. He takes Elizabeth Smart, makes her hike up this mountain to a little tent. And then the sister goes to the mom and dad and is like, Elizabeth just got abducted. Like someone was in our room and they're like, what? You're having a nightmare. This is crazy. Then they call the police. The police think the family is responsible. So they're like not much help to them at all. Mm-hmm. Basically, this cuckoo McCrazy thinks that he is a prophet of God and God has chosen him. He wants to have 12 wives living in the woods with him so he can spread the message. God had chosen him to do something with these 12 girls. So he takes Elizabeth Smart up to this, makes her hike miles and miles and miles up a canyon in Utah.
Was she like 10?
She was 14.
14.
And she gets there and there's a lady there and she's like, oh my God, there's another woman here. Like I'm going to be saved. Come to find out, Crazy McLady is in with Cuckoo McCrazy being like, you're joining us, like you're now one of his wives. So we're going to find 12 more of you. We're going to be a family. We're all going to be aligned. He makes her do all of this heinous stuff, puts her in a white robe, like has a white face covering, a white head covering, and they go walk around town. But he is like brainwashed her so much to believe that like this is where she's meant to be.
Like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes. So she's walking around Salt Lake City in these white robes, like in broad daylight. But
Plain sight.
Yeah. The police believe that it was, you know, her family had something to do with it. They weren't looking for the guy in question. A couple months later, the sister has this vision or this dream and is like, Mom and Dad, I remember who took Elizabeth. It was a construction guy that was in our house. I remember who it was. Then they're able to find like the guy that took her and they're able to basically, he was like, we're going into this city to get something. So they're all walking on the street. And now that they have put out to the public, this is a suspect. Somebody sees them and calls it in. But it's
how
a crazy
long was she gone for.
I think like 18 months. Don't quote me on that. She was living in the woods with these crazy people for 18 months. And he kept telling her, like, don't worry, I'm going to get your sister too. There's going to be 10 more of you. You're not going to be alone. We are chosen by God. And this whole story about how when he went to their house to do construction work, he saw her and God had told him the reason that you're at this house is because that's one of your wives and you're going to have to steal her and do all these things with her if you catch my drift.
So scary.
So scary. But meanwhile, my parents are living in Utah. My dad works in drywall. So he's then all of these construction people that work in building and construction are like, oh my God, like a reliable guy that has like all of these recommendations from all of these wealthy families,
yeah, of like seemingly normal guy
that's good at his job. All these people are recommending him to other wealthy families to come and do construction at their house. He's the one that did it. Wow. So my parents are like, oh shit, we live in Utah. My dad works in building and construction. So that's why I'd never heard about it. But that's my parents insane. Like lived the whole timeline of everyone in Utah searching for this girl.
That's really flipping weird.
And the reason that he knew how to get in the house was because he had done work on the house. Yeah. So he had set it up to a way that he could get in from the outside.
Oh, it was like a long game.
He had been planning this for months and months and months.
That is
horrifying.
Horrifying.
So it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what kind of security you do think you have. Be very careful with who you let into your house.
That's the scariest kind of like true crime story where mm-hmm. it's like that instance of like it could happen to anyone.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what your resources are, how much money you have. Crazy shit happens every day.
Have you ever heard of the Rotten Mango podcast?
Yes
with Stephanie Sue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There I had to literally like I was such an avid watcher of her. I think she's phenomenal. She does some of the most extensive research. I really appreciate.
Oh yeah, she's great. And she does everything like when I tell a story, I'm like, this is what I happened, I think. And she's like, these are the facts and the timelines and everything.
It's amazing.
The backstory.
Basically, like the structure of it, if you haven't heard of it, is she focuses on like cases that happened in Asia. And she always finds not historians, but researchers who are from the area who can read articles and do the research in the native language so that nothing gets lost in translation. And it's such a collection of, because when you're like in the Western world, we never hear about news from Asia, like ever.
Yeah, that's so true.
Like never. Cause I don't know. I don't really know why.
There's enough going on here.
Yeah, here. And I guess like
they take too much screen time on the news.
I know. But there's the stories coming out of Asia are so insane. Like it's true crime. Like we have our crazy true crime, like Manson and all that stuff. They do too. And there are some, I had to stop watching it though, because she covered a couple cases that were so dark and so disturbing. I started having like panic attacks. Oh. And Jacob goes, I think it's because you're like watching this crazy stuff. Like there was one.
Yeah, it's a lot to consume.
Oh my gosh. There was this one that she shared. It was like the last one. It was like this cannibal who was like it's horrifying. You know, like kimchi, how it's fermented cabbage. And like you basically like make these like you ferment it in these things called like it's like a kimchi jar where it's like these special jars are like airtight. So you put like the vinegar and the whatever in it and it ferments over time. Then that's how you make kimchi, I guess. This guy, I forget if it was a guy or a girl, but anyways, she made like a human kimchi jar and was putting people in it. And I was like, y'all are nuts.
It sounds like something that you would learn in a history class, like ancient civilizations did this crazy shit. No, this is like, no, that, like, recent news
like makes you like nauseous. That's
cannibalism. That's my mom crazy. Told a story once upon a time on Shane's podcast about a guy who was murdering women, and he owned a hot dog stand, and he was blending them up and making them into hot dogs and serving it to civilians.
And
sick,
and like people loved it. Mm-hmm. That was the people loved it.
Well, they obviously didn't know, but they were like, "This is such a banging hot dog!"
They were like, "It's delicious," and he's like, "It's a secret recipe."
Little did they know they were participating in cannibalism against their free will.
That's flipping.
Isn't that sick?
I literally need to center myself. That's crazy.
No, there is so much darkness in the world that it's actually really scary to me that we are living among crazy people and you don't know who's crazy. You don't know who's in their house eating weird shit. You don't know who's doing what. It could be anyone. That's what haunts me, is it could literally be anyone, anywhere. So what's your pivot from that?
Oh, no, I was going to
pivot. I don't even know how we got there, really.
Oh, her story was true crime. Kind of.
Mm-hmm. That was totally true crime. My mom has so much good tea that she never shares. One of her coworkers, my mom used to work at a phone company when she was our age, like in her mid-20s. One of her coworkers got taken by Ted Bundy.
Got what? Yeah,
because he was in Utah, same timeline. All of this crazy happens in Utah for some reason. She is one of the survivors. I'll have to ask my mom what her name was, but she has done like all of these interviews because she got taken by Ted Bundy after work in an alley. Could have very well been my mom, who's only 5 feet tall, and got in the little beetle bug. And he, I don't know what happened, but he wasn't paying attention for a few seconds, and she found a way to like break open the door and escape, and she ran for her life and she made it out. But she has all of these like interviews being like, how I escaped Ted Bundy. And I was like, imagine being my mom. There's a serial killer on the fucking loose and you're hearing about it on the news every single day. Serial killer running ransom in Salt Lake City. Your coworker who walks the same streets as you gets taken by him. What do you do with that information? I would never go again. I'd be like, I'm calling in dead.
I'm calling you dead.
I can't come to work anymore because that is so scary.
That would trip me out so bad.
Utah and Colorado, both of those states, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's just because I'm around them that I hear so much, but I feel like a lot of true crime stories come out of these places that I frequent.
Have you seen that there's a serial killer in that is bouncing from Chicago and Austin? The Ladybird Killer?
No.
Yeah, there's like, I don't know much about it. It's all over. There's like, it's not being reported on mainstream yet.
Yeah, I'm sure they're trying to keep it hush-hush. But the
TikTok, you know, TikTok people, they just are too damn smart. And there's this guy who's there. They're targeting gay men and dumping them in the Chicago River and the Ladybird Lake in Austin. And there's reason to believe that it's the same person.
Just gay men?
They're targeting men. They think the perpetrator is a gay man, allegedly.
Oh, and ooh.
Yeah.
And it's happening like right now.
There was a guy that went missing. I don't think they ever found him, who like all of my friends from Chicago were posting, not all of them. There was like a few of them, of like a mutual friend of theirs who had gone missing. I don't know if they ever found him. But yeah, they're being snatched.
That is crazy, so terrifying.
Too, 'cause I feel like we've sensationalized so many serial killers that it's wild to think that there might be one in our lifetime that's another Ted Bundy or another, like, because there hasn't really, I don't really think there has been one.
I feel like there's more mass situations going on.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, even the movie theater shooting, so many people died.
So that happened not far from where you live.
I lived in Aurora, but it's like kind of like LA where Aurora spans so much surface area. Like, so it's not county. Like, yeah, I had never, that wasn't our movie theater. Got that it. Wasn't our mall. Like, we lived on like East Aurora, and that's South Aurora. But I don't think I really understood what was happening. I think it's very similar to the girl that got abducted in Utah. My parents weren't like, this crazy thing happened in our town. They were kind of like, we don't want to freak her out for the rest of her life. Cause I had to have been either in like fifth or sixth grade.
The craziest story.
And I was already high anxiety. They were like, oh dear God, we already can't get her to school.
The craziest story I ever heard. Cause it's true though. You find those like firsthand accounts that put things into perspective where you're like looking at this person. You're like, oh, like all of a sudden it's not like a news article or a headline. It's like, this person lived through that, and all of a sudden everything is in perspective. Like, damn, that could be anyone. Like, mm-hmm. Crazy things happen all the time. The craziest story that I've, or I guess firsthand account that I've ever heard in like proximity to myself, is there was one of the original early, like right after Columbine school shootings, like early 2000s, like era, I was probably in middle school when it happened. School shooting happens in the Midwest somewhere, and my grandpa's girlfriend, who was like a grandmother figure to me, it was her granddaughter. It happened at her granddaughter's school, who I was like friends with. And essentially, uh-oh, what happened was this boy lost his mind, showed up to school with a goes in the cafeteria, starts mowing everybody down, makes eye contact with her. She realizes that it's like her friend's older brother who's doing it. And he looks at her and spares her life and no one else's life, spares her life. And then he obviously gets taken down. And she was explaining like the survivor's guilt of it. And I'm like in the room.
Yeah, like why me, you know?
I'm like in the room while like this grandma figure of mine is like sharing this story. And I like know the girl that she's talking about. And I just remember like, it is such an eerie feeling. And that happened like very early. Like this was, oh my gosh, like 20 years ago, mm-hmm. like a long time ago. And I like, it's so jarring when you hear such a harrowing firsthand account and to think like all of a sudden it's so humanized, right? Like personalized. It's so scary.
And how sad that that's something that she has to live with forever.
Survivor's guilt is such an interesting human experience, I bet.
I can't even imagine the amount of therapy you would have to go to be like, this is what I witnessed and this is what it was like for me. Because how does anyone even know how to help somebody through that?
No, like the grief counselors, it's like, on what scale have you experienced that level of trauma that you can like empathize? Because I feel like there's levels to everything. You know what the other crazy story I've ever heard is?
Tell me. I'm listening.
I went to Pepperdine. I was in class with this boy. I literally met him in this class, spoke to him once. I never spoke to him again, but he shared the craziest story with me of all time.
Uh-oh.
I was an interpersonal communication major at Pepperdine for my undergrad. And we were in this like some sort of communication class. And we had small group discussion and we were talking about what we wrote our like personal essays to like get into Pepperdine. I don't know how it was like the topic of conversation. That's what we had to discuss, was like our personal essays or whatever. And he drops the craziest lore I have ever heard to this day. He goes, yeah, well, I shared mine on like the time that I like almost died when I was in high school. I was like, oh, like, can you like what happened? He goes, well, I survived a crash landing of an airplane.
What?
I go,
hell no.
Hey, unpack that for me, kid. He goes, kid. Well, something horrible happened while they are in the sky, and the side of the airplane flew off. So the cabin is open air. Okay, like something happened with like the jet engine. And you know how you see those crazy movies where like the window blows open and then there's like a hole in the side of the airplane?
Right. And people get sucked out of it.
That happened right next to him and his mom. And so he was sharing this story on how for like many, many minutes, he had to hold on to the armrest and his mom while they crash landed the plane.
Please tell me the mom survived.
Him and the mom survived. I don't really remember like what the casualty rate was, but he's like, yeah, you know, like when you live through something like that, you get a whole new appreciation on life.
Oh no.
I go, you made me feel so stupid. I wrote mine about high school bullying. I'm like, what do you mean?
You're like, Paige from the fourth grade called me annoying. And what do you have on that?
Oh, you win. Bye.
You know what? Trauma is relative.
God.
And you don't know what hits you until it hits you.
But yeah, I was like, I didn't know that really happened. He's like, yeah. He was so nonchalant. He was the king of nonchalant.
Nothing screams February. Like, let's unpack the most traumatizing stories we've ever heard. Feel free to submit yours to the email. Because, oh my dear God, that being in a plane knowing that it's going to crash has to be one of the worst ways that you could possibly die. I think drowning or dying in an airplane would be like my top two of like, please, God, do not make me go that way.
You know which one mine is? Top of the list. Fire.
You think? I feel like it'd be pretty fast, though.
I think it would be so painful.
It would be, you're so right. It would be so painful.
In terms of like pain, I think drowning is probably panicked. Like you're panicked to go. I feel like fire was agonizing. I bet.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of drowning in an ocean and not knowing if they'll ever find me. Because if you die in a fire, they're going to find your body and they'll be like, oh, that was this girl. We can identify her in some way, hopefully. If you drown, I know that they say like, we find people all the time. There has to be so many dead bodies floating around the ocean of people that have never been found, people that have gotten murdered, people that have just had tragic accidents. There is no way that the ocean is so big and they can find everyone that has a tragic accident down there.
No way.
I used to love the ocean, and recently I have developed a deep fear for the ocean, and it might be a frontal lobe developing thing of, oh my God, I have something to live for now. Mm-hmm. But I was telling Brooke when I lived in Hawaii.
I was hoping you'd tell this story.
I used to be like, let's swim out to the drop off. Who cares if we see a shark? OMG, that's going to be so cool. And I was telling her about this story of me and my friends at UH, nobody had a car, right? Because everyone came, not everyone, but like a lot of people came from the mainland.
It's
so
like hard to have a car.
Yeah, you wouldn't ship a car there. Like we're 18. We met a local guy that had a car. And so he was like, oh my God, I have to show you guys my favorite thing to do. Took us to the east side, which is very like locals only. But he's like, you guys will be with me, so it'll be okay. Takes us out at like 5 a.m. to go swim with the dolphins. And like when the sun is coming up, they'll come up pretty close to the shore, but it's still so deep. Like it, but the water's so clear. So you can be out so far and not feel scared because you can see what's underneath you for so long. We go, we swim with the dolphins. It's magical. Cool. We get out. Maybe an hour later, a girl also from my school goes out there, gets attacked by a shark. And I was like, oh my dear God. That one, thank God she survived. Two,
oh my God,
if that, just imagine, like, why am I subjecting myself to this? That could have very well been me.
It's like near death, final destination thing.
And every people in Hawaii were reckless. I feel like in my first year at UH, at least 3 people in our class died because people are jumping off cliffs, people are swimming out too far.
Gosh.
It's a very big rave town, so a lot of people, you know, they go to college and they think nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. They start experimenting with drugs. They take the wrong drug. Oops, one wrong drug, you're dead. So after that, I wasn't as like, yeah, let's go free swimming in the ocean. It's that's like you, like, 80 feet deep.
Because I feel like something like that forces you to like look at mortality. It's like, oh, I'm not as invincible as I thought I was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people go into college being like, everybody does drugs. It's not going to happen to me. I'm so smart and so
cool. I'm the exception.
Newsflash. When you get a bad one, it doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care what resources you have. It doesn't care how much money you have. One bad drug, you're dead.
Well, you know what's even scarier? Not to like, you guys, I don't know why this is so doom and gloom, but I know we have a lot of vapors in our community. So I just want to like share something that I saw. A doctor on TikTok I just saw was saying that there was a young boy, he was like 20, college student, was just hitting a casual vape with his friends. And he had bought this vape like secondhand because I guess in college it's hard to get the cartridges or something. Like it's pretty common for people to like sell just like the single packs that you would get in the store. Bro, they're lacing the vape cartridges with fentanyl. So he was like, this boy comes in and their friends, he literally just like hit a vape so casually and all of his friends saw him change the cartridge. They see him drop to the floor and it was a nicotine cartridge that was laced with fentanyl, killed him. 20-year-old boy in college. Like it's like
ow!
Things that used to be so casual, like juuling and stuff. Like I feel like everything is dangerous now. It's
everything
crazy.
Is so dangerous. But when you're 20, you don't think that anything is dangerous. It's terrifying. Kid, he wants to vape with his friends. He has his whole life.
Right. Like you're thinking like it's like a, what is it?
It's almost like drinking
risk.
At this point.
Yes,
yeah.
It's like an educated risk. Like, oh, nothing's bad. I'm not doing drugs. It's like, I'm just vaping. I'm not doing drugs. It's like, bro, no fun allowed. Like, what the hell? It's crazy. It's crazy too how things that like used to feel safe when we were so young, now that we're like 28, it's like
oh my God, don't do that. Like, oh, don't do that. Like, you're in danger.
Now I know what my mom was saying. Stay away from the drop off. Do not swim out to the drop off. Do not take drugs. Do not vape with your friends because they think you're cool.
No.
My younger sister, Kate, during the ice freeze, all of the college kids and just like kids around Dallas, they were strapping like snowboards and like sleds.
I saw her story and I was like, oh, that looks like a broken bone waiting to happen. Oh my dear God. They were strapping
things to the back of their cars, like their pickup trucks and like Broncos, driving around the icy roads in Dallas and like sledding behind the cars.
I'm scared.
She sent this video in our family group chat and I felt like such an old hag, but I was like, be careful, like wear a helmet, like oh my God, like what are you doing?
Because it was cut that out. You get paralyzed once, you can never take it back.
I'm like, you were too pretty to be paralyzed like that, like for something stupid, like because literally they weren't even in sleds, she was in like a plastic bin, like going around a so I'm like, yeah, like when I was 19 I would think that was so fun and fresh. Cut to at the end of that day, all over the news, a girl who lives 30 minutes away, cute little high school student, was doing the same thing. Like 16, her and her friends doing the same thing Kate was doing. This poor girl, the boy driving the car, hit a weird turn. And her friend went over a curb. Like, and the guy wasn't even going that fast. Like, it was just like a little high school boy. Hit a curb. The two little girls, like 16, hit a tree. The one died instantly. The other one died in the hospital. Doing the same thing Kate was doing. And I was like,
I literally watched her story and my first thought was, oh my dear God, somebody get her a helmet. Yeah. I'm scared for you. You're too pretty. My favorite moment with your sister, she was a freshman in college. Oh my gosh. And I look at Brooke's sister and I'm like, Kate, everybody in college does drugs and it's terrifying. And I look at her and I say, you were way too pretty to die from drugs. And she looks at me and she says, I know, right?
I want to be her so bad. She's so confident. I know, right?
Like, meanwhile, like how embarrassing would that be?
She never drinks. She never does anything. Like, her crazy night out is like sledding behind a car.
But it is so crazy. Like, I feel like we talk about it all the time. Like, your frontal lobe is developing and like now everything looks different.
Everything looks dangerous.
It does. It's so weird.
Anything on wheels, dangerous. Anything that moves, dangerous. Anything that you can smoke, dangerous. Pills you can take, dangerous. Oceans, terrifying. Roller coasters, I'm scared.
You want to know what one of the funniest things about Sloan is, my sister? She's a fire marshal. We call her the fire marshal. Like almost like 1 year she gifted, like 2 years ago, she gifted us all fire extinguishers for Christmas. I'm talking like every household got two for each floor, a fire extinguisher. Because
that's such a good gift because that's something that people don't buy for themselves.
Dude,
you know?
We call her the fire marshal because she goes into an entrance. She goes into a building. She goes, like there's not enough emergency exits. Like, we were going around London and there's these old historic buildings and she's like, this is a fire trap, like we can't do this, because she fell down a side of the internet like 2 years ago about like building fires and how many people die. Like there was like this club incident where like this theater lit on fire and the curtains lit up and like everyone burned to death, and she goes, the world is so dangerous, everybody, like everyone needs to be aware and be careful. And I'm like, oh my God, like why are we all so anxious all the time now?
You know, my mom would never let us have candles, like you know, in like 2016 it was like everyone's gonna go to Bath and Body Works, we're all gonna get our matching winter crisp apple candy apple, we're gonna get all the seasonal ones. And my mom was the fun police and she was like, no candles, no flames. Mm-mm. Because when she was young, one of her friends, they left a candle burning and didn't know it, and it lit their whole house on fire. All their photos, all their memories, all their hard drives, all their computers, all their phones lit up in flames. They had nothing, just from a candle. And like the smoke like caught on to something. And ever since, my mom was the fun police and people would come to my house and be like, let's just light a candle. And I'd be like, no, we can't. And then they'd be like, your mom is the fun, the candle police. But she just didn't want her house to burst in flames.
She's also a crafter. Do you want to cover something in glitter? I can provide that.
My mom has a craft for any hour of the day. But yeah, I do light candles in my house and I do leave them on sometimes. And then I feel really guilty.
I
need to be better at that.
I am appreciative of like, the cloud for, as scary as the cloud is, like holding all of our data. There was a house where I'm from in Chicago
that got struck by lightning, like two streets down from us, got struck by lightning. The family was on vacation and the whole thing in the middle of the night, like burned to the ground. Like I'm talking like burned to the ground. There is nothing, not even the fire. It was some sort of like something else. The house gets struck by lightning. Something else lights on fire and literally like melted the fire safe. Like I'm talking everything was gone. And they were kind of like a more established family. They were like, everyone's like a bit older. And she was like, I have nothing backed up. Nothing. Like an entire lifetime worth of photos, entire lifetime worth of memories. Like I have nothing. And so I've recently, like ever since that happened, I try it. Like anytime I find a VCR or like a, we try and like digitize as much as we can. Cause she literally, we saw her on the street actually, like our neighbor. She was like, digitize as much as you can.
Yeah, because everything used to be all photo books, mm-hmm. all VCRs, all cassette tapes. Scary.
Have you seen that all the
put your candles out, people?
The VHS tapes are like deteriorating where you, like, you're not going to be able to watch them in 10 years.
Oh, like because they're just getting too old. They're like
the film
evaporating.
Yeah, the film is like deteriorating. So there's this whole push, like get your VHS tapes digitized so that they don't like corrode to the point where you can't watch them anymore.
That is so scary.
There's like a service now that you can like put them all in a box and send them and they'll do it for you.
Speaking of mm-hmm. The show we were watching last night, we should tell them.
Archive 88.
I really thought it was going to be about aliens and I don't know. I was just thinking Area 51, Archive 88. We were on episode 2. Shit is bonkers.
Yeah, it came out in 2022.
I'd never heard of it.
It came out in 2022. It's only one season on Netflix. It is one of it. One of the producers is James Wan, who did the Conjuring movies. And it's not a horror show the way that like you think of a horror show.
Thriller.
It's a thriller and it's more suspenseful. Like it's not horror in like a
boo.
Yeah, like a traditional sense. So you can handle it if you don't even like scary things.
But I would say psychological thriller.
You know what I will say though? The reason it sparked a memory in my head because learning about like the Epstein files and all the underground crazy shit. And like I'm like on a conspiracy talk right now, like talking about like all like the celebrities in the past who have alluded to this, like Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey has this whole interview that he's done where he out loud says, well, you know, like there's a whole secret society and they're like eating babies and they're doing this. But then you realize, no, like that's a laugh track. Like everyone in the audience was silent. And the guy who was interviewing, I think it was Jimmy Fallon who was interviewing him. He's like deadpan, like not laughing. It's such an eerie clip. I'll send it to you. It is so eerie. But it made me think like, oh, like the whole like cult secret society weirdness, the show Archive 88, which is like years and years old, kind of falls in that vein. So I'm watching it to see if there's any like similarities, to see like if art, life imitates art kind of a situation.
You were telling me that it was my dear brother-in-law that made a video about Pizzagate and everyone said, Shane, you're effing crazy.
Mm-hmm. I was literally referencing, I was like, because she mentioned in the files, my mom and I were talking with Morgan about like the files and she's like, yeah, like the Pizzagate stuff. And I was like, I heard about Pizzagate like 8, 9, 10 years ago. I was like, I watched this awesome video. Like, I can't remember it. And then in the middle of the night, I like sat up. I was like, it was Shane. Like, it was Shane's video. Of course.
The call is coming from inside the house.
I literally woke up. I was like, Morgan, it was Shane's video. Like, of course.
I feel like that happens to him often where people start to uncover this crazy thing and then it goes viral. And he was like, I've been telling y'all.
You go, hey, by
I've
the way.
Been saying this. And they're all like, you're crazy.
No, he's on it. He's on.
Well,
it.
That was fun.
You guys, that was the most depressing episode. We're literally sitting here in lingerie shirts. We're like, did you have fun?
Happy Valentine's late Galentine's party.
Sorry.
Hopefully you leave this not feeling depressed in an eternal and agony.
I hope none of you turn into fire marshals.
All
like
of this
sister.
Was alleged.
Oh, yeah. We're lying. How about that? We just made all of it up.
And we don't have opinions. We're just reporting what we heard.
Hey, my favorite quote is, saw a TikTok. Someone else said it. I'm just quoting it.
You know what my most recent pet peeve is? Hmm. somehow we all get fed the same things, right? Mm-hmm. And you know when you see a TikTok or a reel that's like a statistic and it's like this weirdly specific statistic. Again, I'm not trying to hate on men, but men love to present these statistics to you as if they came up with it. They did the research on it. They'll be like, did you know 82% of straight men, blah, 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 like whatever the fucking statistic is. And I'm like, you just saw the same reel that everyone else in the world saw. And now you're presenting it to me as a cold hard fact. Cite your sources. And they're like, ah, just something I know. And I'm like, no, I saw the same exact video.
Bro.
You know what I'm talking about? Like people presenting those statistics as common fact. My other favorite
is there'll be like a viral video, right? And everyone is fed, again, the same story or like something crazy happens.
And you know I get it 2 weeks late because I only reel.
Yeah, you reel. And then you'll like be in passing conversation with someone and they'll be like, I read this article. I read this article about this crazy thing. I'm like, bullshit.
You have not whipped out Google Scholar since 2006, bro.
You saw the same damn short form content I did. You did not read no damn article. Like, no, you did not. I read this article. I'm in this email. I got an email. No, you didn't.
It's literally a video of an AI generated skyscraper. And it's like, and when I'm back in Chicago. And then it's just written on the screen. It's that video over and over and over and over again.
Oh, my God, dude.
You know what's so funny? The Grammys are old news now, but they have all these songs, like all the performances were like viral TikTok songs.
Okay.
But you know how you don't know the full song until it gets to like the 1 15-second clip and then you're like, oh, I do know this song. But it's so funny because you only know the 15 seconds that's viral on TikTok or Reels and you don't know the rest of the song because no one's actually going into Spotify being like, what is this? I want to bop to this in the car.
Yeah. I feel like also you don't really recognize the artist. Like,
no.
I was always surprised. I saw a couple songs, same thing, where I knew the song, but I was like, oh, that's what you look like?
It's totally you. Yeah. I will say, I think Olivia Dean is the next big star. It's already up and coming.
But
I think she's in like the same place Taylor Swift was in, like when she released Fearless. Like people know about her. They hear the music. But I think her longevity is gonna go crazy.
You know who else is like gonna go down as one of the best performers? I really think. I love that Sabrina Carpenter.
That Sabrina Carpenter. I love that girl too.
I just think she's so cute.
She's so cutesy and fun. I love that she doesn't take everything too serious. No, you know, like it's all like a bit.
Performer. Mm-hmm. Like she's genuinely, her stage quality is so, they don't like do it like that anymore. I feel
she's a pop star for sure.
She has like the same like perform, like, you know, that golden era of performers, like, I guess our golden era, because we're like, that was our generation. But like Katy Perry used to do these like big like performances,
elaborate,
like
Lady Britney. Gaga,
Britney, like they would do these like over the top performances. And now it's very like, watch me be nonchalant and sing on a stage and do a loop pedal and like watch me be so artistic and awesome just by myself. I don't need the production. It's like, bro, I want the production. Put a jet on the stage. Like you have the money, spend it, motherfucker. You're being cheap. Mm-hmm. Also, speaking of cheap, this is our energy. Speaking of cheap, did you see the whole thing with Harry Styles?
I'm not on that okay. side.
Harry Styles releases his tour dates, okay? He's only going to five cities. He's doing like a residency tour instead of like a normal tour where he's like traveling around. And
five
cities.
It's, and he's like, calling it a tour?
Thank you. He's going on a 5-city tour. And
that's not a tour.
Dude, get this.
That's a weekend.
He's saving so much money. He is saving an obscene amount of money. He doesn't have to pack up the tour bus. He doesn't have to fly the whole crew out all over the place, right? Like it is so much cheaper the way he's doing it. Guess how much his listed tickets were in the pit for his show?
Well, I can't even imagine because my brother and I wanted to go to Hillary Duff and the back row was $1,800 a pop.
For in the resale market.
To be in the nosebleeds.
Holy gosh, she's so cute too.
I know.
Because the resale market is like already a nightmare. No. Harry Styles himself listed the pit tickets.
Oh, it wasn't even the resale?
No, ma'am. It was him listing it. $1,000. A
$1,000. He got eaten alive. Everyone's like, you're
as he should.
I know.
And you, I promise you, Harry Styles doesn't even need the money.
No.
So what's the fucking point?
And you're already like cheaping out the way that you're doing it.
Only like, five only, shows.
No, it's not five shows. It's five stadiums, like 20 shows a stadium. Right. Or like, you know, like a venue.
So they don't have to pack everything up and they don't have to pay to transport it every day.
You know who does? His fans. His fans are flying to these cities, putting themselves up in hotels.
Staying in hotels that are going to be already supercharged by like 400 million percent.
Yes. And he has the nerve.
I swear to God, a night at a hotel to go to those shows will be like $1,000 for a fucking Holiday Inn.
And the resale market is already predatory enough. For an artist themselves to list something like that for $1,000 is... And like frame themselves as like a luxury item is so, I was so thrown off by it. People were eating him up.
You almost think at that point, Harry Styles would tap into, oh my God, people are coming to this for the nostalgia of
yes.
it.
Yes.
It's kind of like the Jonas Brothers. Like, did I know any of the new songs? No. Was I there for the nostalgia of loving the Jonas Brothers? Yes. Like he has to understand it's not like, he's like a new hot artist.
It was tone deaf. And I think what was even funnier is like, he like did like a, I think his PR team saw what was going on and he like released like one night only in a random, I think it's Germany, like a random club in like Germany, I think Munich maybe, €5 for a ticket. And everyone's like, is Bro. This supposed to make up for it? Like, Now you're offending the people who did buy tickets. Like, and this is supposed to offset you. Like, come on, dude. Like, I know. I was so disappointed.
It's like Taylor Swift with her 20 million variants of the same song. It's like, we get it.
We get it.
As a top 0.5% listener, we don't need 20 million variants of with different album covers.
Yeah.
We're fine. And nobody is like, who do they think their market is? Like,
yeah, that's
the average consumer isn't spending $1,000 to go to a concert.
Well, oh, and the other tea was he released the concert dates and the prices, and then the tickets went on sale like 4 days later. So people are like, are we just supposed to like sit around with thousands of dollars just waiting for, like, what was the plan there? Like, okay, you're going to charge $1,000. Can you give us a minute to save up? Like, people were rightfully so pissed.
As they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, it was the same thing. Why? And I'm sure it's a lot of audience crossover mm-hmm. because Taylor Swift will post an album and be like, this is the super exclusive. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You'll never be able to get it again. And then 5 hours later, she's like, okay, well, here's the super exclusive, like same thing
right.
added on. And then they're like, well, why did we buy the first one
right.
when you said it was the only exclusive thing? Now there's an exclusive thing. So if we really want to hear the exclusive, we have to buy it three times.
Yeah. And there's not notice that there's gonna be a second version.
And the crazy thing is she's already a billionaire. Yeah. Why do you have to do this?
Yeah. It's like your fans have given you so much, like...
Give him, throw him a bone. Harry, let us come for $250.
Harry, you know I love you, King. That was nuts. You need a new team because
you know,
that was nuts.
I don't know if this is just something that happens with everyone, but there was Harry Styles, mm-hmm. right? And then the reincarnation of Harry Styles was Benson Boone. And then the new reincarnation of the third pass down, same font, is Somber. And how do they all have the same sparkly pants?
Well, Harry was the blueprint.
That's what I'm saying.
Harry was the blueprint.
At this time, at this point, all these knockoffs are just going back to the original being like, what pants are those?
Can
I get them in my size? That works for me.
Please give me your hand-me-downs. Please.
Whenever his name is brought up, all I can think is Moonbeam the back ice
flip.
Cream.
Oh, all I can think of is the backflip.
That's better than Moonbeam ice cream.
How many backflips does he have left in him? And what does he do if he ever can't do that anymore? The whole show's over.
He wears moon boots. I can't prove it. You know those like trampoline
God
shoes.
Awful trampoline shoes that are catered to us at Nordstrom as a luxury boot that you can't even walk in.
No. I'm talking about. Remember
the ones that actually bounce, like the actual moon boots.
The ones when we were kids that had springs in them. That's how he flips
actually
around.
He walks around and is like all stone kitchen. There's glitter all over the floor. He's like,
and hidden trampolines everywhere.
Like, he has maids and he's like, can you clean the glitter? I gotta practice my backflip and my moon shoes. And they're like, we hate our life.
There's like hidden trampolines all over his house. He's just he's backflipping around the kitchen. Oh my god.
Well, on that note, Harry Styles, if you decide to come back to reality with the rest of us, we'll go.
We'll see you there, King. I love you. I love you. One Direction will rise up. Important.
Anyway, that was a great time.
So, you guys, that episode was so weird. Sorry. Okay.
And on that point, and on that note, Moonbeam ice cream, watch out for killers. Don't compost.
And blow out your candles.
And look for your nearest fire exit. That's the summary. The AI summary.
TLDR. We should TLDR all our episodes.
And start with it. That can be the intro.
Oh, God. Love you guys.
Anyway, see you next week or tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.